Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle, the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. Let's keep it rolling here in the middle of your week on FFC. Scott, just over 2 weeks away from the 2023 NFL Draft. Later this month in April, April 27th, to be exact, 2 weeks from tomorrow, the opening round kicks off in Kansas City. There has been a ton of conversation, Scott, about who was going to be that first overall selection. And after visiting the Panthers and their organization in Charlotte yesterday, Bryce Young remains that heavy odds-on favorite at minus 270 to be the first overall pick. Scott, where do you assess the race from the quarterbacks to be that first overall selection by the Carolina Panthers just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft?
You know, I don't think, I may know who I would take. I don't think Carolina, Ben, knows who they really want to take. It's amazing, right? We talked about this, you know, for a couple of weeks now. They make the big trade. They move up. You would assume that they would know in the back of their mind, all right, this is the guy we want. We want to make sure he's there. So we move into the number one spot and give up a ton to be there. But then, since then, we've had nothing but rumors. Is it Stroud? Now, Bryce Young, I guess, is the betting favorite. They don't have it here in New York on FanDuel. So I don't follow that market that closely. But I do know enough to know that, it was Bryce Young. Then it went to C.J. Stroud when Carolina made the trade. And now it's back to Bryce Young. So I can't help but think that the Carolina Panthers don't even know. They're just throwing names out there, seeing how fans react. You know, the Yankees were great at this, Ben, many, many moons ago. They used to propose trades, leak it to the media, everyone would talk about it, and they would kind of get a feel like, okay, do the fans like the trade? And if they didn't, then they wouldn't make the trade. If they did, then they made the trade. I don't know if Carolina would be that cavalier about the first overall pick, but, there's reasons why these lines change. It's because, the Panthers, in this case, send out word that they're leaning toward this guy or that guy and getting fans' reaction to it.
Yeah, absolutely so, Scott, and that's what we see here at this time of year. It is smokescreen season where you're not entirely sure what these odds are signifying to you. We see so much movement, and we've seen a ton of movement, Scott, in the last month and a half since the end of the scouting combine, the final weekend in February, even into the first few days of March. Let's not forget where this market was. Bryce Young was the favorite to be the number one overall pick, even into the college football season here in 2022. Reigning Heisman winner from Alabama in 2021 seemed destined to be that first overall selection. We weren't sure exactly which NFL team would hold that number one overall pick. It seemed like it would be the Texans for quite some time until the regular season finale, week number 18, where inexplicably Houston beat Indianapolis, giving Chicago the first overall pick, taking some of the agency and the control away from the Texans, Scott, in terms of determining their quarterback for the future. But after the NFL scouting combine, even after he didn't work out and was only measured, Bryce Young was still a heavy odds-on favorite. Carolina, about a week later, trades with Chicago for that first overall pick, and almost suddenly, C.J. Stroud from Ohio State vaults Young and becomes the favorite to be that first overall pick. And it really remained there for some time. Even 2 weeks ago during CJ Stroud's pro day in Columbus, we heard on the hot mic a clip between quarterback's coach for the Panthers Panthers, Josh McCown, speaking to CJ. Both are good basketball players, saying once you get to Charlotte, all moved in and settled, we'll have to set up a game of horse. It made it seem like it was determined already where Carolina was going to go with that first overall pick. And then really, Scott, the past 4 or 5 days, the narrative has changed. The Carolina is enamored with Bryce Young. He has been their number one prospect on their big board, and hosting him yesterday for that visit only further intensifying these odds that come 2 weeks from tomorrow, Scott, it will be Bryce Young making his way to Carolina as the Panthers use that first overall pick on him.
Yeah, and people may ask, Ben, like, why would Carolina, which has the number one spot, why would they worry about what other people think that's and what have you, and throw smoke screens out there? It's because, you know, Houston needs a quarterback, and they're sitting in the number two spot. And maybe Carolina's throwing these names out there, seeing what's going to agitate the Houston Texans the most, and feel like, okay, you know what, we say it's Bryce Young, we say it's Joe Schmo, and Houston comes a calling because they really want Joe Schmo. You know, maybe Carolina can get the guy they really want at the number two spot and pick up a couple of draft choices or a couple of players from the Houston Texans. So that's why I can see why Carolina would throw different names out there, even though in the back of their mind, maybe they do exactly know who they want. Because if you can get that guy, you know, if they like Bryce Young, just for the sake of the matter, right? And Houston likes one of the other quarterbacks, you know, you throw that other quarterback that Houston likes, maybe pick up a second or third round pick, you know, to swap from number one to number two.
Yeah, you never really know exactly how that's going to work. And Scott, behind Carolina, who holds that number one overall pick, there's been some jockeying for the third overall selection. Arizona taking multiple calls around that third overall pick, potentially teams trying to trade up to get their quarterback. It seems, Scott, Houston was pretty content if Bryce Young fell into their lap at number two. CJ Stroud remains the odds-on favorite, minus 115, to be that second overall pick. But there has been more conversation in the last few days that it might not even be a quarterback for Houston under a defensive-minded new head coach in D'Amico Ryans. Plenty to break down, not just for quarterback draft prospects, but quarterbacks on the move ahead of the 2023 NFL draft. We're talking mainly about Aaron Rodgers. We'll discuss that up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on Football Full Circle. Scott, I'm not sure what the calendar says necessarily or how long the tracker has gone on, but Aaron Rodgers is still not a New York Jet. That's where things currently stand. And Scott, both sides have really failed to set a timeline. They maybe felt they don't really have any pressure to, both New York and Green Bay. But we're coming up to the NFL draft, just 2 weeks away, 15 days, a little bit more than 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. And Scott, it's really fascinating that we really haven't heard much in the past few days and weeks, except for Joe Douglas coming out and saying there's no timetable. And yesterday, Mark Murphy, the president of the Green Bay Packers, who took over in 2008, the first year that Aaron Rodgers became the starter in Green Bay, said that when he met with media members, he really couldn't get into who holds the leverage, who holds the power, where negotiations stand right now. He said, quote, "I know Brian," as in Brian Gutekunst, the general manager for the Packers, "and Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets, have been talking." That's pretty much all the information, Scott, we have received. Do you think there's a timetable, Scott? Or maybe the better question is, do you think there should be a timetable for Aaron Rodgers to be dealt to New York?
Well, let's go to the ultimate timetable, right? I mean, would they like to get it done, Ben, before the draft this year so they can get the Jets draft choice this the season when they finish so lousy? Obviously, right? Would they like to be able to get him in for one of the optional training camps? Yeah, you know, but where really When's the last time Aaron Rodgers can join the Jets and be ready for the start of the season? And would the Jets even say, okay, we're going to acquire you August 1st and maybe have you miss a game or two? So I would think like the real drop dead date would be, yeah, it'd be the beginning of, probably the preseason games, you know, August 10th, August 11th, whenever that may be, probably like beginning of late August. And I'll tell you, the other thing, Ben, is the longer this goes, the longer I think it will go, if that makes any sense. Meaning if they just wanted to get it done because they like Aaron and they want to do him a favor and the Jets aren't playing hardball, this would have been done a little while ago. But the longer and longer it, you know, stays not done, that means I think each side gets entrenched in their position that much more. And now all the goodwill of just, you know, letting Aaron go is all gone. Now this is a bona fide 100%. I got a guy that I really don't need, and I know you want, and you have an owner who's telling the world that the deal is going to get done. You got a GM that's telling the world the deal's got to get done. Why would I bend over backwards? So it's, the longer it goes, the worse I think this thing gets.
Scott, I think it's a fair point, right? That if the timetable continues to wear on, what is going to be that motivational piece? What is going to be the impetus if this goes to June? If this goes to July? You would think training camp is that. After the NFL draft, Scott, we know what we have. Rookie minicamp, OTAs, and we move from there as you can get back into the team facilities. For me, Scott, I'll put this in two parts. For me, if I'm New York or Green Bay, I want to move forward. I want to turn the page. I don't want this lingering question. Even if we both know the deal is 100% going to be done, I don't even want the question out there for much longer. I certainly do not want it into the summer months as we want to move forward. That's what the Green Bay Packers have said. And the New York Jets need to now welcome in and acclimate a 39-year-old quarterback who will play in his 19th NFL season. And Scott, it's his first year in a new organization. He is the longest tenured Packer in the illustrious history of that franchise. 18 years with Green Bay. Even just relocating, Scott, he's got to figure out where everything works. Yes, he is going to be coached by his offensive coordinator from 2019 to 2021 in Nathaniel Hackett. But it's your new situation. It's a new organization. It's a new front office. It's a new head coach. It's a new cast and crew around you. You need to start to figure out what that all feels like. So I don't want it into the summer. Scott, I'm not sure I really want it much after the draft, if at the draft at all. When you think about the NFL draft, the narrative is the future of your franchise. Both of these teams, the Packers and the Jets, you would think, Scott, would prefer to focus solely on that future, having anything to do with the past set and done. It doesn't necessarily rush the timeline to make this deal not as good as it could be for either of the two sides. But Scott, in my mind, with the narrative out there, with President Mark Murphy for Green Bay getting asked about this yesterday, I'm sure they weren't asking much, Scott. What do you guys think you're going to do with your fifth round draft pick? Defensive side of the football or offensive side of the football? They're focusing on Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. So as they both look to turn the page, it's a huge change individually for Aaron. It's a monumental change for both of these franchises. I know there's no timetable that needs to be set, but Scott, the sooner the better.
Yeah, absolutely. And the weird thing about it, Ben, is both sides have acknowledged what their plans are in the future. You know, the Jet owners, the Jet GM is saying, yeah, the deal's going to get done. It's going to get done. It's going to get done. You got the Packers that have already announced that, okay, this is Jordan Love's team. You know, they have no qualms about that. So they both know where they want to go, but for some reason or another, they don't want to get it done. I would think it would get done before the draft. But again, for me, if you really want to be honest, like drop dead, when's the last time the Jets could bring him on? I would think it would be in August. I don't think it'll last that long. But that to me ultimately would, yeah. I mean, could they go the entire summer? Why would you want to do that? You know, why would you want to subject Jordan Love to all the questions he would have to face day in, day out at these OTAs and everything else, knowing that Rodgers is still part of the team? You know, you want to. There's so many things, right, that say just get it done, which is why I am surprised it hasn't gotten done, to tell you the truth, already.
Yeah. I mean, it really, when you think about that, it's just kind of crazy that it hasn't been done just yet, but we'll see exactly when that happens. There is no timetable that needs to be met. There probably is not a ton of pressure at this point, but it is very interesting. It is very interesting that it continues to wear on. And at a certain point, Scott, you just have to think, all right, let's get this deal done. Let's be done with it. Let's not focus on this anymore, and we can focus on our own teams. Aaron Rodgers in a new situation, the New York Jets figuring out if they can be a true contender for an AFC championship in a completely new era for the Green Bay Packers. Again, they're not unaccustomed to this. This was almost, not quite the same in everything, but a very similar situation to Aaron Rodgers taking over for Brett Favre. It was his fourth NFL season. It is Jordan Love's fourth NFL season. He was drafted in the tail end of the first round. Jordan Love was drafted in the tail end of the first round. There is a script for this in Green Bay, but they got to figure out what's good with Jordan Love. So it will be interesting, Scott, to see when this happens. I would think it happens before the NFL draft. I still think that although there hasn't been much action as of late, but the longer it goes, Scott, I think you're right. The longer it's going to go. Officially, by the way, as Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show on Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, including today, it has now been 28 days since we heard from Aaron Rodgers himself, his intent to play for New York, Scott.
Yeah, the one thing I was surprised at, Ben, I didn't know this. Now, not that I've been reading every single article up in Green Bay, but reading the four-letter network, the ESPN article on this, it said that Gutekunst said that the Packers are not demanding the Jets' number 13th overall pick. That's the first time I've read and heard that. So are you telling me then the Jets don't want to give up even a second-round pick for Aaron Rodgers? I found that very interesting because I thought – I thought the Green Bay Packers were asking for two first-round picks, right? And maybe the Jets were saying, no, we'll only give you one, and maybe a conditional second round. But if they're saying that somewhere along the line that the Packers aren't even asking for the Jets' number one pick this year, I'm really surprised the deal's not done, if that's true.
Yeah, very, very much so, Scott. It's a really good point that the Jets maybe know what they want to do with that 13th overall selection this year, but future first-round draft picks or future second-round draft picks, that's more of an ambiguous thing. We'll continue the conversation up next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Scott, 15 days until the 2023 NFL Draft. If you had to put a wager on it, Scott Wetzel, if you had to set maybe the over-under at April 26th and a half, which would be the day before the 2023 NFL Draft begins on Thursday, April 27th, would you take the over, meaning later into April and early into May, or under 26 and a half for where Aaron Rodgers, or excuse me, when Aaron Rodgers is traded from Green Bay to New York?
It's interesting. You know, if they're really not arguing, Ben, over the Jets' first round pick, then don't forget the second round is the next day. So I'm going to go past that number, however you want it. Over, would you say that would be over, I guess? I'm going to say later than at August 26th and a half day. I think it's going to really just come down to the bottom. You know what? It might even be the Jets draft the guy the Packers want with that second pick. That's how close I think it's going to come.
Yeah, maybe so. That's a really good point, Scott, in terms of what that could be. We see trades all the time in terms of the NFL on draft night. Might that be part of the conversation right now between Brian Gutekunst and Joe Douglas on what the Jets' plans are for the 2023 NFL draft, how that factors in to the Packers' future as well? We'll see. And we don't really know a ton right now, Scott, what the holdup is. It would seem draft compensation, but what exactly does that look like? Of course, we have mentioned numerous times Aaron Rodgers entering year number 19. He is already 39 years old. There has not been an expressed desire by Aaron like there was for Tom Brady to play until he was 45. At most, you would think 2 years with gangrene, maybe just 2023. So there isn't necessarily that idea here, Scott, that he's going to be around for the long term, which probably helps the Packers in terms of, or excuse me, helps the Jets in terms of the negotiation leverage side, being like, hey, we need some protection for our future to get Aaron Rodgers here. But Green Bay probably answers back saying, hey, we're done with him as well. So we don't need all that much to give you back in return. It's all of those conversations right now, Scott, that are going on between Gutekunst and Joe Douglas. What we can say at this moment is Aaron Rodgers has the seventh best price, tied for the seventh best price with a ton of other quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, and Dak Prescott at 16-1 to be the 2023 NFL MVP. What level, Scott, do you think Aaron Rodgers will play at when he gets to New York?
I think he's almost done. Listen, he's not going to fall off a cliff, you know, like Peyton Manning did. But I didn't see anything, Ben, from him last year that makes me think he's going to all of a sudden be the old Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he just wasn't very good. You know, I mean, to think that he had a playoff game basically at home against the Detroit Lions and he couldn't win. His numbers weren't good. The wide receivers, you want to say part of the blame? Maybe. But I saw enough Packer games to know that he deserved just as much, if more so, of the blame. So we've talked about this before. I don't think they're a playoff team with him. I think the numbers that FanDuel and the boys in Vegas are putting up based on Rodgers being on the Jets, crazy. You get plus odds for them not to make the playoffs right now. Plus odds on FanDuel. You know, first of all, you don't even really know if Rodgers is going to be on the team. And if he's not, then you're looking at Zach Wilson. And I'll take those plus odds, absolutely. But even with him on the team, I don't think they make the playoffs. You know, what's interesting is, you know, the Jets hold the 13th pick and the Packers hold the 15th pick. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there's a little talk about them swapping as part of this deal. And, you know, a separate kind of issue. If you wanted to play a hunch, Ben, you watch the Green Bay Packers after all these years of not using a first-round pick on a wide receiver. You want to bet a dollar to a buck the Packers this year draft a wide receiver in the first round. Can't you just see that right after all those years, and now they bend over backwards for the new kid on the block, if you will, Jordan Love? I bet you Green Bay takes a wide receiver in the first round.
It's very interesting, Scott, because there are draft position specials for the first position drafted for a team. What will that player play? What position is that player when he comes into the National Football League? For the Jets, the odds-on favorite, heavy odds-on favorite, is an offensive lineman at minus 250. Of course, you need to protect your most valuable resource, we would assume here soon, in Aaron Rodgers. For the Packers, Scott, it's much more up in the air. There's a three-way tie for the co-favorite D-line, O-line, tight end, all of them plus 250, but 50 cents behind, a wide receiver at 3-1. It would be fitting. It would almost be ironic, I believe is the word you would use, if the Packers drafted a wide receiver at 15th overall in the 2023 NFL draft. And Scott, there's certainly some wide receivers that would be in that conversation. Jackson Smith and Jigba out of Ohio State is the favorite to be the first wide receiver off the board, but Quentin Johnston out of TCU, Jordan Addison from USC, a couple of the names that are right there, Scott, in the mid to late portion of that opening round that would certainly be an intriguing prospect for Green Bay. We know they invested in the wide receiver position not in the first round, but throughout the draft last year with Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. He was great at the end of the year. Romeo Doubs was great early on before injury with Aaron Rodgers. There is some young talent there, Scott, on the outside for Jordan Love to look to utilize. It wouldn't shock me if Green Bay looked for a wide receiver there at 15.
Yeah, I don't know what would be more funnier, right? You say that? Yeah, funnier, yeah. What would be more funny, the Packers drafting a wide receiver to get a dig at Aaron Rodgers, or the Packers drafting a quarterback to get a little dig at Jordan Love? Because don't forget, Jordan Love's entering, what, his third year? There's been really no guarantees that he's the great Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers part three. So that would be kind of funny as well with Green Bay. There's a lot of little storylines if they wanted to have some fun with this thing.
But certainly so. A lot of storylines, Scott, if that becomes the case. And it's going to be interesting, Scott, because, again, it's the future of both franchises. Green Bay now not trying to build their roster around Aaron Rodgers, try to build that roster around Jordan Love. The tight end is a position that would help, certainly. Dalton Kincaid is the odds-on favorite now to be that first tight end selected. He's out of Utah. He's a really good option. 15 would make sense for me to focus on Kincaid. Obviously, the Jets are going to bolster up that offensive line. That will be their focus to protect Aaron Rodgers, we would assume. Scott, is there any world, as we wrap up this discussion on Aaron Rodgers, when he eventually is traded to the New York Jets from the Green Bay Packers? Again, it's been going on 28 days now since Aaron announced on the Pat McAfee Show Wednesday, March 15th, 2023, his intent from his mouth that he wanted to play in New York. Is there any world, Scott, any world? Give me a percent chance, or maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. You think the Jets do not have Aaron Rodgers under center week number one to start 2023?
I would say it is the Jets. It is Green Bay. This thing is going a little long. I would say like maybe 10%. It's not going to happen. I'll give it a chance just because who knows what could happen, right? But I think eventually both teams know that they're going to fold the cards if need be. Right? I mean, you can't proclaim to the world if you're the Jets, as they've repeatedly done, which really makes no sense. But you can't proclaim to the world you're acquiring Aaron Rodgers. It's going to get done. It's going to get done. And then not get it done. And then if you're the Green Bay Packers, you don't want him on the team ultimately. You've already handed the reins over to Jordan Love. The salary cap implications would be crazy. You're going to pay a backup quarterback $50 million. It would be a problem all year long. You can't possibly do that. So, yeah, Ben, I mean, listen, you never say never, but I would think 90% sure this will get done somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I would think so. I know a lot of Jets fans wait with bated breath. They've been spurned a time or two, but this is going to be done. It is interesting, though, Scott. When you look right now, we noticed the Jets' odds, right? We're on the move, on the move, on the move with the expectation of Aaron Rodgers. It becomes official. They move again up to plus 750. Their odds right now, Scott, have moved back by a dollar. And it was $2 a couple of weeks ago. Now back by a dollar to plus 850 to win the AFC Championship. Their win total is out. It has been for a while. The New York Jets' expectation is 9.5 wins and the over juiced at minus 134 to be a playoff team this year for the New York Jets. It's a minus money price as well, favored to get into the AFC postseason at minus 162. Scott, those numbers haven't moved so much, the win total or the juice to make the postseason, but their odds overall for contending for a Super Bowl and an AFC Championship have moved back ever so slightly. Is that teams around them in the AFC continuing to make moves this offseason as we wait for the Aaron Rodgers shoe to drop? Or do you think there is a small hesitation from the odds makers?
I think reality is sitting with the odds makers that the Green Bay Packers, the Jets wouldn't be that good even if it was getting it get done. I don't, you know, listen, all these numbers are all built in that it's going to get done. I mentioned before, plus 132 for the Jets to not make the playoffs. I would be all over that. I don't think that's going to change much when the deal is actually done. I think those are the numbers. I don't think they make the playoffs. This is the same team that lost their last six games last year. They were 7-4 at one point, then just completely fell apart. I don't see this as a playoff team. Wide receivers young, backfield young. You know, it's a young team, an improving team, I imagine. But the AFC is loaded, Ben. I just can't see them leapfrogging a healthy Miami Dolphins team, you know, the Buffalo Bills, and all the other teams in the AFC. It's not going to be easy making the playoffs in the AFC.
Scott, something we'll discuss next. The Baltimore Ravens have moved back up this board. Is it Odell Beckham Jr. moving the number, or the idea that OBJ means Lamar Jackson wants to stay? The Ravens now, again, the fifth best price in the AFC at 11-1, where they were to start off this offseason. We'll talk about Baltimore up next, live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're back on FFC, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. So, Scott, the offseason is slightly slowed in the National Football League since free agency opened up in early March and all that it has become. We've really focused on two quarterbacks and their potential trade destinations and futures, Aaron Rodgers from Green Bay to New York, and whatever is going to happen with Lamar Jackson. Not much has happened, Scott, in terms of teams that have acquired or inquired, I should say, about Lamar Jackson, or really even told the media that they're interested in Lamar. However, the last thing that happened from a newsworthy standpoint was on Sunday when the Baltimore Ravens signed Odell Beckham Jr. to a one-year, $15 million deal with incentives it could become closer to $18 million. OBJ last played in the 2021 NFL season. He was a huge component of the Rams' Super Bowl run to hoist that Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl 56, a game that Odell Beckham Jr. was injured in the second half. He tore his ACL. He has been recovering ever since, but in the first half, he caught a touchdown. All four playoff games for the Rams, he had at least 50 yards. So, Scott, it was a good sign for Baltimore to invest in the wide receiver position. And we know that OBJ and Lamar Jackson were celebrating with one another on Sunday night. The conversation, not just about Odell, but what does that signing mean for Lamar Jackson's future with the Baltimore Ravens franchise? I mentioned it right before the break, Scott. Their odds to win the AFC Championship have shortened once again. They were 11-1 at the beginning of this offseason, only behind the Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals, and the Jets after the Aaron Rodgers news became more formidable. But they moved back to 16-1 after we got the news from Lamar himself just a few weeks ago that he had requested a trade officially from the Ravens organization on March 2nd. So from 16-1, Scott, 48 hours ago, now to 11-1 to win the AFC title. What does that $5 of movement, Scott, tell you about Lamar Jackson's status with the flock?
Yeah, I think it tells you that the boys in Vegas know that people will be betting Baltimore. So no sense giving 16-1, we can give 11-1, and just as many people will be betting them. I don't think it has anything to do with Lamar, though, as far as is this going to entice Lamar Jackson to, you know, sign when he really doesn't want to sign with Baltimore? I don't think so, Ben. That's going to be the next question, right? I mean, listen, is he happy? No doubt about it. But am I going to sign a three-year guaranteed contract when I've been holding out this long for a five-year guaranteed contract because I got, you know, Odell Beckham on a one-year deal in which I really don't even know how well he's going to be able to perform? I don't think so. I really don't. But it's good. It's kind of weird, right? I mean, just completely out of the blue. Out of all the teams that were rumored, I don't remember hearing the Baltimore Ravens. And it was kind of a strange signing. Sunday, Easter Sunday, it's just like, that was very weird, wasn't it? Just for them to be able to do that. Gave him a lot of money, you know, $15 million guaranteed for a guy coming off a major injury, sat out obviously all of last year. Maybe the Ravens think this will entice Lamar to sign, but I don't think ultimately it will. Like, when he does sign, or when they get this resolved, let's put it that way, I don't think it's going to be Lamar Jackson saying, well, yeah, once they got Odell Beckham, I figured I might as well join the team again.
Scott, what do you think it signifies to Lamar? Do you think he is now with the idea that, all right, they're investing in wide receivers, and Odell, when he has been healthy and he has played 12 or more games, he has caught at least 1,000 yards receiving in five of his first year, 6 years in the National Football League. But this is now his fourth team. We're not entirely sure his health. What do you think is more intriguing for Lamar, the idea of actually playing with Odell Beckham Jr., or just the idea that Baltimore is now taking the onus finally to invest in that wide receiver spot?
Yeah, I think it's got to be impressive for Lamar to be able to finally do that. But it's kind of like the Packers situation we just talked about, right? About Green Bay after all these years, you know, watch them to use the first round pick on a wide receiver. You know, I got a feeling Lamar is saying to himself, you know, after 5 years of not really getting me any help, now you finally get me help when I'm halfway out the door. So I think it's more a situation like that than it is, okay, I'm rejoining Baltimore. I think in his mind, Lamar, I think he thinks he's gone. And it's just, well, you know what? Great, you got Odell Beckham, but I'll go join some other team. No big deal.
It will be interesting to see what happens. Scott, right now, Baltimore is favored to make the postseason, -122. With all the uncertainty this offseason, Scott, do you think you would back the Ravens to be a playoff team next year in the National Football League?
No, I can get them at even. listen, you know they're going to be there. That team has got too much history, too much heart, too many good coaches and everything for them to fall completely off the map. But I don't see this, you know, whereas I do see the Jets thing ending, it has to. I don't see this thing ending. If he wanted to play hardball, as we've talked about before, he could sit out the first 10 games and still have this season count. So, and if he does that, then forget about it. Then Baltimore is absolutely screwed. I think that, I'm not big on putting money away in April that I'm not going to really be able to cash until 8 months from now. But if you were okay with that, I would be all over the no with the Ravens and the no with the New York Jets. I think that no is even with Baltimore. Even if Lamar does join the team, you don't know how his knee is really going to be. He's one more year, older. Not that he's old, but, for a scrambling quarterback. I could easily see them not making the playoffs just because the AFC is so loaded.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I don't know exactly. I don't have any reservations, Scott, about the health of Lamar Jackson. I think, yes, the last 2 years have not been the greatest look in terms of the durability conversation that has followed Lamar because of the style of quarterbacking that he plays. But every other year, he played at least 15 games that he started. In the 2 years in 2019 and 2020 where he didn't play all 16 regular season games is because Baltimore was set entering their regular season finale in their playoff position, including in 2019 when they were a 14-2 team, and Lamar led them to the number one overall seed in the AFC, a part of his MVP winning season. I think sometimes, although it shouldn't be glossed over, Lamar Jackson winning an MVP and being an MVP quarterback technically on the market is kind of lost in the conversation just slightly. I don't really have any issue with how Lamar plays, with his overall health. I think Lamar Jackson is built for the future of the National Football League, and I think when you can get a 26-year-old quarterback, either Baltimore investing in him or other teams, you are in a really, really good spot. There is that if and or but for everything that happens. Josh Allen takes hit after hit after hit. We don't really question his durability. Patrick Mahomes could have issues as well. Joe Burrow entered the National Football League, tore his ACL in his rookie year, and the conversation wasn't, uh-oh, can Joe make it in the long term? It's, hey, let's invest in the offensive line so Joe's not on his back the entirety of the time. I think Lamar Jackson's health is not really an issue here, although it is perceived to be by these NFL organizations. So I think, Scott, having Lamar is a huge upgrade. I'm just not sure if Baltimore will ultimately end up with Lamar Jackson. And then what happens? You have a new offensive coordinator in Todd Monken. Tyler Huntley, you would assume at this point, is going to be their starting quarterback. Is there a chance that Baltimore trades up in the NFL draft? Scott, we talked about a couple of team draft specials, the position of the first player drafted by various NFL organizations. We talked about New York going with an offensive lineman, that being the Jets, the Packers, and could they pick a wide receiver? For the Baltimore Ravens, the odds-on favorite, Scott, right now, and the Ravens pick 20th, I believe, in the NFL draft order. I'll check that right here. But the quarterback, 22nd, excuse me, yeah, is minus 125. A corner, not quarter, a cornerback is the odds-on favorite at minus 125. A quarterback, though, Scott, the fourth best option at 10-1 from the odds perspective. I don't think Baltimore would pick a quarterback in the first round. Could they trade up for a quarterback? I'm not entirely sure. But if they do, Scott, trade away Lamar Jackson, and there is a conversation that maybe Indianapolis is interested, although I don't know if the fourth overall pick is going to be on the move, there is always that idea of what they do in the future. I just think, to sum up this point, if Baltimore moves on from Lamar, as I've said multiple times, I'm just not sure where it leaves the Ravens.
Yeah. Could you imagine, the one quarterback that I think he's kind of most comparable to Lamar. And listen, Lamar was like super quick, so no one's going to be as fast as him. But, if Anthony Richardson, Ben, were to fall down to 22, and that probably won't happen, but you never know with these quarterbacks. They all get hyped. You all think they're going to go higher than they go. And then sometimes they drop. We've seen that. If he were to fall into Baltimore's lap or to a position where Baltimore would be in a position to move up without giving that much, I wonder, you obviously know what Lamar wants. You know what Baltimore wants. And if they really don't think this is going to end happily and he's not going to sign and he's going to hold out, I could see them drafting a quarterback and just saying, we try, we failed. I don't think Huntley's the answer. He's a restricted free agent. No doubt they'll sign him, but I think we've seen enough of him to realize he's not, you know, the answer there. So, but if Richardson were to drop or one of those other quarterbacks, but especially him, I could see them absolutely moving, just saying, that's it. We're done, Lamar. We're done. You go sign a contract and we'll just let you go. And then we'll trade you officially. We'll get something for you, but that's it. We tried, we failed, and let's move on.
Yeah, we'll see, Scott, how it all plays out. We're not entirely sure, but what we do know, just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft and that opening round on a Thursday night, April 27th in Kansas City. Scott, where else on the board are you intrigued right now by what a team might do in the NFL draft and who that prospect could be that they're targeting?
You know, I'm really curious to see what Arizona's going to do. They're in a great spot. Listen, this year's going to be lost, right? Because, the quarterback, Kyler Murray, is not going to be around for the most part. So it's really just one of those years. They're thinking about getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins because his salary cap hit is $30+ million. So they don't technically need a quarterback if they're willing to say this year's going to be a wash. You should be able to get with the third overall pick a ton for that. So I am curious. Does Arizona keep the pick, take maybe the best defensive player out there? Do they trade down, for another team that wants to move up to grab the third quarterback? Arizona, and they got so many issues with that team, but I am curious to see how this whole thing plays out. And what could, if they were to move on with Hopkins, I don't think they can get a number one for him, but you'd be able to, I would think, get a number two. I don't know if the team's crazy enough to give you number one, but you might be able to get a decent number pick, a number two. Now you got two terrific choices. So Arizona is curious to me.
Yeah, I agree, Scott, especially with the report from ESPN's Adam Schefter earlier this week. They've received calls from at least six franchises. Knowing how quarterback heavy this 2023 draft class is and knowing how many teams need a quarterback, or at least to answer a question around their quarterback position, I think there's a lot of teams, Scott, that are inquiring about three because they don't want to wait. They don't want to hope somebody falls into their lap or moves down the board. They want to go get whatever guy they are enamored with. And I still think, and the odds would back this up, that we'll go 1-2 with quarterbacks. Bryce Young first, C.J. Stroud second. But that's where number three becomes very interesting. Arizona, of course, does not need a quarterback. They have a new defensive-minded head coach, Jonathan Gannon, coming over as the defensive coordinator from Philadelphia. But with that being said, Scott, I don't think they need to pick number three to get a defensive guy they like, especially if they have people like Will Anderson or Jalen Carter or Tyree Wilson, whoever you want to throw in there, pretty evenly rated on their big board. If they could move back and acquire some draft capital, knowing that this year is going to be tough, they have the second longest price to win a Super Bowl at this moment, only in front of the Texans. I think what they are going to do with that third overall pick and most likely move back is going to be a part of the conversation. Now, what team moves up and what are they looking for? That might be what we discuss to round out today's show on Football Full Circle. Up next here on the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back on FFC for a couple more minutes, live right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens. So, Scott, you mentioned that what Arizona, the Cardinals, try to do with their number three overall pick is going to be very interesting and could have ramifications on the NFL draft. If, Scott, like both you and I are maybe alluding to a little bit here, Arizona tries to move back to get more draft capital, it will be interesting to see what team they trade with and what that team might be moving up for. I think, Scott, and I think it would be one of the few players people would actually try to move up the board to get, his name is Anthony Richardson, and he's the quarterback out of Florida. Now, I'm not saying, Scott, that I agree that Anthony Richardson should be the third overall selection. I'm just saying I think teams around the league are going to do that, knowing how quarterback rich this draft class is in the conversation around it. Scott, do you agree? And if so, which team do you think might be trying to move up, even if it's just by a couple of spots?
I do agree. He's the one that I like the most just because of the NFL being as it is, scrambling. I'll teach him how to throw. I'll work on his accuracy. Give me the scrambling ability. That's the way of the world. It just is. I think there's some teams real quickly, Ben, that will take quarterbacks if they fall to them. Do they want to move up? Like, I'm curious, would Hayden Hooker get past his local team, the Tennessee Titans? You know, Ryan Tannehill, last year of his contract. I know Malik Willis, but he was so awful last year. With the Atlanta Falcons, are they really sold on Desmond Ridder? Would they move up? Seattle, you know, they just re-signed. What's his face? Geno Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, and they gave him a 3-year deal, so you'd think they would be settled in on that. Washington, the Commanders, would be the one. I can't believe they're going to go into next year with the quarterback situation the way it is now. I think they're going to move up.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Scott. I think there's something they really got to do when it comes to that. 16th. I would be shocked if they stay there, but you never entirely know. He's Scott Wetzel. I'm Ben Stevens. Thanks for joining us today on Football Full Circle. The Money Line is up next.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.